The first scripture reading is Psalm 149. And I'm using Stephen Mitchell's translation from the Hebrew, which is more free form than many others. And I've replaced all the pronouns in it and used only the words the Lord and God. Sing to the Lord a new song. Praise God with words and with silence. Praise the Lord through all of your actions. Praise God in sorrow and in joy. Praise the Lord with music and with dancing, with bodies moving in delight. Let the wise sing out their freedom. Let the whole earth echo their song. Let all God's creatures be peaceful and walk in the path of true life. Our second scripture reading is a single verse from Matthew. And this one is from the King James Version. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. May God bless our hearing, our understanding, and our living this holy word. Amen. Some of you were here last Sunday and heard Dr. Darlene Clyde of the Franciscan School of Theology in Berkeley speak to us about work in progress. Dr. Prides told us a personal story of how she came to be a person of faith, all because of a woman she never met. A woman who took her mother to church weekly, and because of whom, many years later, Darlene and her siblings went to church with their mother on Communion Sunday. Dr. Prides told of her personal faith journey, saying, because of a woman she never met, she was here preaching to us. She reminded us that sometimes we don't know the effect of our actions at the time and at the place where they occur. We don't know now how our actions may reverberate through time and how they may impact others' lives. Dr. Prides' message reminded me that in our theology, there are many meanings to the word church. Each of us is a church as an individual. Together as a community this morning, in this building, we are a church. And as that community and as individuals, we are part of the church universal, part of the people of faith who have ever lived and who ever will live. Today we begin a new church year, a year of transition for our congregation and for our church. We can see where we have been, though perhaps not quite as well as we think we can. We can see the beginning of a new path also, a new way opening before us. Perhaps you are as eager as I am to start down this path, eager and a little fearful. I realized in preparing this message that I am full of hopes, full of questions, full of enthusiasms, and more than a little concern. Although it comes to me in a variety of phrasings, my mental chatter comes down to a few key questions. Why am I here, as an individual and as part of this congregation? Where am I going, and where do I want to be in the future? What am I called to do as part of this congregation and during this transition? And how can I contribute to the success of this transition? Some here today may remember a spiritual message I gave a little over 2 years ago, in which I described the five keys to success given to me by a mentor a decade ago. Nothing lasts forever. Perseverance pays off. Invest in yourself. Your sense of humor is a most important asset, and surround yourself with affirming persons. Let's take each one of those individually, as they may be helpful as we begin this new season, this new church year, and take our first steps into this year of transition. Nothing lasts forever. If it did, we would have no opportunities to grow. Sometimes, though, we get comfortable in our lives as they are proceeding, and we need to be shaken out of our complacency. This can be especially true in our church lives. There have been many changes in the 113 years since this sanctuary was dedicated. And through all that time, there has been a vibrant congregation calling at home, looking to God while seeking the peace and safety of this lovely sanctuary and the beautiful grounds. Perhaps you're like me in that it came as a shock in March when Reverend Rachel announced her retirement from parish ministry. And although I understand, accept, and respect the reasons, I was among those who were sad to learn that in our denomination, the prior pastor stays away from the church, from any potential position of authority and involvement in the life of the congregation until asked back by the new called pastor. Yet as the initial shock wore off, I was able to observe in Reverend Rachel a readiness to move along her new path and to realize that one gift I could give her was to wish her well along that path. That realization enabled me to delight in the planning of her party and to fully participate in and to enjoy that wonderful day of celebration we had on June 29th, just 2 short months ago. Perseverance pays off. Right after Reverend Rachel's decision was announced, the council decided it would be good to hire a trained intentional interim minister. Sounds easy. And in the end, it was. Reverend Jeff met Reverend Rachel at an interfaith council breakfast in June, and from there it was just a matter of time and working out some details. I'll just comment from my own personal perspective that I'm fully convinced that that meeting in June between Reverend Rachel and Reverend Jeff would never have happened without me doing a whole lot of groundwork and investigation into an interim ministry, sending out emails, all that stuff. Never would have happened. Invest in yourself. And that's what this next year is going to be about. Investing in ourselves. Each of us as individuals, and most importantly, as a community. We will be reflecting on and coming to terms with our history, more than 113 years. Exploring and discerning our identity as a congregation. Reviewing and renewing our relationship to the denomination and to the world. Among our considerations will be a revitalized vision of our ministries, the congregation, the shrine, our rites and sacraments, and our outreach ministries. All of us have an important stake in this effort as we work with Reverend Jeff to prepare the way for our new installed pastor, the Swedenborgian pastor we have yet to call. Our theology teaches us that our choices as individuals, acting as of ourselves, prepare us for our eternal home. By our choices, by exercising our free will, we grow. As Albert Einstein said, "I must be willing to give up what I am in order to become what I will be." Our choices as individuals and as a congregation this year will have consequences. They will reverberate long into the future of this congregation, of this sanctuary, and its surrounding gardens and buildings, and in each of our lives. We each will be asked to make that choice to participate, and what a responsibility that is. We each are able to make that choice to participate. What an opportunity. Your sense of humor is your most important asset. This brings to mind, and I see many faces from the Memorial Day retreat, and it brings to mind that mission of that day. Our mission as teams doing skits the final night was to conduct a search for our new minister. And Bill Dance provided a very interesting and detailed job description, which basically boils down to working 25-8 and no sinking below the surface of the water as he or she walked on. During the search, we had the help of more than one angel, including one singing, and I'm not going to burst into song here, Swedenborgians, Stranger Than You Might Think. The assistance of Dorothy and her companions, the Cowardly Lion, the Tin Man, and the Scarecrow. We offered the position to the gardener, reminiscent, reminding those who were present of Chauncey Gardner and being there. We considered doing an IPO, hiring a guru, a televangelist, and finally we interviewed and rejected God. Experiencing the playful laughter of that evening really helped me feel more comfortable with this transition. I'm confident that that spirit will permeate this year and enrich our journey. Lastly, on these keys, is surround yourself with affirming persons. Isn't that what we're doing right here, right now? This last key is what Swedenborg teaches is the nature of heaven, the Lord's kingdom of ends and purposes. A community where people share the same values as you do as an individual. A community of people who share your commitments. A community of people whose affections, thoughts, and actions have within them the end in view of doing good from the heart. Such a community can strive to be a reflection of heaven by fostering our individual and collective spiritual growth, by serving the world around us, and by so doing, serving God, for whom the ultimate purpose of creation is a heaven from the human race. To everything, there is a season. There is a time to every purpose under heaven. Just because we hold a set of keys, like the ones I just gave Reverend Jeff, doesn't mean that the doors will open, that the necessary work will get done. We have to choose to participate, to use the keys, to give of our time, our talents, and our treasure, to use these keys to place them in the locks and to open the doors to our future. Our second scripture reading this morning promises that where two or three are gathered together in God's name, the Lord is there among them. Think what a community, such a community can accomplish. Let's get to work.